right, it's time to get started tonight. I see more cars coming in, so we'll get some more folks in here, I hope, anyway. The middle section looks a little bare, but anyway, we're glad to see you here tonight. Thank you for being here. Let's all get a hymn book and stand together as Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song.
All right, number 145, I Love to Tell the Story. 145, everybody take a hymnal, stand, and join us as we sing. 145. Sing out.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my
songs. I like you really pay attention to the words, see how meaningful they are. So let's sing the third verse and then we'll sing the last. So the third together.
I love to tell the story, His pleasant to repeat. What means each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my victory, to tell the old story of Jesus.
God's blessing upon the service, every head bowed, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight on Wednesday night. Thank you for the opportunity we have in the middle of the week to cease whatever it is we do as we go through life, to come together once again in fellowship and get around the Word of God and good singing and just be with God's people here at Anchor Baptist Church. And we're thankful for all who are here. Lord, I know there are some still on their way. I pray they'll be safe here. I know the traffic's been real bad. Got hung up in myself a little while there. I'm thankful, Lord, for safety, and I pray the folks will get here all right. God, we're just grateful for the privilege we have to come together in the house of God. We want to thank you for your blood. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary for our sin. Now, Lord, you know what we need tonight. We're so glad to have Brother Dennis Carroll and Miss Carroll here with us, our missionaries to Mongolia. God, what a great joy it's been to be on the missions team with them as they have worked to get the Word of God translated in their language there, and we're looking forward to hearing from him tonight. God, we pray you'll bless the work there and other works that they have had a hand in as well. God, we're grateful for missions. We thank God that we have the privilege and the opportunity to give to try to help folks go around the world to get the gospel out to those that need to hear it. Well, Lord, we pray you'll bless the service tonight. For all that we do, may we honor you in everything, and we'll be thankful, praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. We'll have another song in just a moment. Again, thank you for being here this evening. And a couple things I'll mention quickly. Prayer request. Let's pray for Margie Johnson. That's Kelly's mother. They had put her in the hospital. She'll be there probably until Friday. But she had a little problem, and they seem to have gotten it taken care of. And so I went by to see her this afternoon. Of course, Margie has Alzheimer's and does not know who you are. I don't guess. I mean, when I walked in, she was kind of sleeping, and she woke up, and she started making noise. And here comes Kelly, and she can verify this. The ladies in the room with us said, "This is Mr. Rick," and she looked over and said, "Dumb, dumb, dumb, dumb." I said, "Yeah, that's me. Dumb, dumb." And, from her, it's okay. But Margie's such a precious, precious lady. Played the piano 45 plus years over at Alpine, and we so enjoyed being in her home. She'd fix meals and sandwiches. We'd go back to church and fellowship, and all we had was a wonderful time. And I really hate to see her this way, but she looked pretty good under the circumstances. Let's be sure to pray for her. She's in 724 at Richland Hospital. Of course, you can't call her, so I wouldn't worry about that, but just pray for her if you would, and I know she'll appreciate that. Brother Jimmy Rose is at home, and Brother Steve went to see Brother Jimmy this past week before he came back from up in Greenville, and you pray for Brother Jimmy and Miss Nancy, of course, that God will continue to touch him. He's still very sick, but at least stabilized and kind of on the mend enough to be at home, and so you pray for Brother Jimmy. He's touched a lot of lives all over the world. I met a young man in Michigan while I was there. John Alves, who is a missionary. He's a Rock of Ages prison ministry missionary in Brazil. So when we got to talking there at the meeting, I just said, "Do you happen to know Jimmy Rose?" He said, "Oh, my gracious." So Jimmy was my pastor. He got saved under Jimmy's preaching and went to church there. And so he knew him and Nancy well and Terrell. And their son-in-law, Milton Nunes, who also is on the field there in Brazil. And so we had a kind of a connection there. In fact, Brother John, Lord willing, back in March of next year, will be here with us. He comes home every two or three times a year for big Rock of Ages prison ministry meetings that they have, because he is the South American director. And but what a great young man he is. You really enjoy Brother John. He'll always, you get up, preach, and he'll say something like this. He'll say, "Well," he said, "I'd like to preach longer, but my vocabulary won't let me." So you got to listen to him real hard. Or he still does pretty well. And did a great job of the meeting, but so pray for Brother Jimmy. I mean, Brother Tim Griffin, who's been here the last few weeks, couple times when I was gone, was saved and brother at one of Jimmy's revivals there. Brother Jimmy at the Tabernacle, and so he knew something. He knows certainly about that. And so pray for Brother Jimmy Rose. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request you want to mention? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Amen. That's good, Brenda. Okay, we'll pray for your neighbor Yvonne.
Yes, somebody else.
Yeah. They put a feeding tube in his stomach. It was down in his nose. Right?
They did not do that.
Oh, okay.
That was for that. Okay. And he was born with that, and so he can't swallow very well. But Brother Watson's got a little video of him play. He's almost a year old. And what a cutie pie. I asked Brother Joaquin, I said, "How in the world did you get those good-looking grandkids? Must be on mama's side of the family." So one time I declare, he yelled out, "Ooh!" I'm talking about the little baby. So he must be grandpa's boy, I guess. But cutie pie, I'm telling you. And so anyway, you pray for Nico. And Sabina is out there with them in Oregon for a couple of weeks, visiting with Ivan and Joaquin's daughter, so Texas. So pray for her as well, and pray for them. All right? Anybody else?
Yes, sir.
All right? For Jake, okay? Anyone else?
Oh, this anyone?
Amen. Well, that's wonderful. She's been trying a long time to get that house sold, finally got it, now she's got a place. That's wonderful. And so they were, Felton and Brenda were able to go up there and help to kind of get her moved in and all that. So I'm glad they were able to help get her settled. All right. Anybody else?
All right. Very good. All right. Brian, you got anything for us?
My wife's making her way up here to make all the announcements about, I thought we promised. Okay. Let me tell you one thing first before she does that. Ladies meeting Saturday. She's going to tell you everything about Trunk or Treat. But the ladies meeting Saturday, don't forget about that. You ladies that sign up to go, meeting at 7:30 Saturday morning. So I know you have a good time at that. Now, I guess Bethany from back there is going to give you some announcements about Trunk or Treat.
All right. All the men that are participating in the bake-off, take-off, bake-off. Well, I don't know what it is. All right. Number 78. Hymn number 78. Let's stand and sing "When We All Get to Heaven." Number 78. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. have a little time of fellowship together. Thank you so much. If you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service. And have the ushers come on ahead. We'll take care of the offering this evening. Now, we'll do something a little different tonight. We have Brother Dennis and his wife here. Unless it's a tithe or you designate it somewhere in an envelope, any money we take up tonight will go to the Carroll and help them with their travels. Man, they drive that big red truck out there. I drove up, saw that thing. And I realized how big Brother Dennis is. I said, he needs a big truck. So anything you give tonight, I hope you'll, and consider this as also the love offering. If you want to give something tonight, just to do that, anything other than what's designated will go to them, okay? Let's do it that way, and that'll expedite things just a little bit, all right? All right, Brother Joaquin, lead us in prayer, would you? Amen, amen. Pastor introduces our speaker. Rebecca is coming this time to play for us. Well, she's multi-talented. She sings, plays the trombone, but she told me right before she can't do both at the same time. So she's not that talented yet. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you.
Wasn't that good? Do you expect a little frame gal like her to play like a flute or a piccolo or something? I'm glad she didn't bring a tuba up in here. I'll tell you, she played that thing, didn't she? That's great. Of course, she's a great singer, and she got that diaphragmatic breathing down pat, don't you? That's great. Listen, we want to encourage you. If you've got a talent of any kind, and Verna Saul, Brother Joaquin, we need to get him up here and play again for us. He plays. And then I think Brittany plays a saxophone. There's a clarinet. I always get that wrong. What is that? Clarinet, yeah. Alto clarinet or something like that. But anyway, I'd love to get some of you folks. Yeah, really. If you got something you can play, man, bring it to the house of God. Don't worry about if it's orchestra perfect. It has to be as long as you do it for the Lord. We'd like to hear it. We'd like to hear from you and hear your talent. Well, we're glad to have Brother Dennis Carroll and his wife. Brother Dennis, we met Brother Dennis years ago. His son, Danny, and wife, Laura, were at our church over at Alpine and pastored them for a while he was in the military. In fact, he's a trumpet player. He was the number one, whatever you call that, in the military, trumpet player. So he played for us a lot over at the other church. And we always enjoyed hearing from Brother Danny. I remember one time, some of you folks remember when you were there, I preached a message on the rapture, and I didn't tell anybody. I pulled Danny aside, and the old sound room up top there had a window cut out in the wall. I said, I want you to go up there, and just about the time I start talking about the trumpet sounding, I just want you to blow that horn real loud. He said, you reckon I ought to do that, Pastor? I said, yeah, I reckon you ought to do it. And so, boy, I was preaching in a big way, and I said something about the trumpet sound. He said, and man, I think about 10 of them tried to jump and help the Lord get up there. They jumped up. I'm telling you, we love Brother Danny. Of course, after he retired, he and his wife moved to Ottumwa, Iowa. That's right, same place Radar's from, if you remember Radar O'Reilly. But Brother Danny went into the, of all things, the funeral business after he got out of the military, still doing well. And they live right there. So now that Brother Dennis and his wife are here in the States, I guess staying there and kind of basing from there. And but we've supported Brother Dennis and his wife in Mongolia for many years. And for a long time, they were involved in translating the New Testament or the whole Bible? The whole Bible into the Mongolian language or whatever that language is there. He's been based in the capital city while he was there. And so, but we've always appreciated their ministry. Brother Dennis, a great feller, and his wife, Precious. I told her, because it's been, I guess, 6 or 7 years since we've seen each other last. And she had short hair then. I came in, and I saw the lady, after her back was to me. And I said, where's Brother Dennis? I said, but I don't see his wife, but we've got a visitor here. So I went over to speak, and she turned around and heard. I said, oh, your hair's longer. And she said, yeah, and it's curly, too. And I said, hey, don't get mad. I said, some women spend a lot of time and money get curly hair. Some of us wish we had hair to curl at all. So they've been right there. So, but we sure love this dear family. So what we're going to do now, Brother Dennis he's going to incorporate a video that he's made with his message. So what we're going to do is going to turn it over to him, let him just tell a little bit about, you know, of course, the work there and what's going on with them. And then just going to give him the service, and then he can close it out. So you pay good attention if you would, and help him out. Brother Dennis, you come on ahead and stand up. Miss Carol, this is his wife. And Brother Dennis, how long have you been married now? 61 years. How about that? And been in Mongolia how long? 19 years. Isn't that wonderful? And and his wife's been so just right there with them. And she's such a sweet lady. Got a great personality. Just like being around her. So I can understand why Dennis stayed with her as long as she has. So she just got that good, sweet personality. But brother, you do too. I tell you, fellas, I was a big red truck, bigger than me. I'm going to talk good too. Amen. We love you, Brother Dennis. You have the service. You just close it out as you see.
Brother, before we get started, I don't know if y'all remember now. I guess there's one thing we need to get straight before we get going. I am smiling. It's the best you get after 21 years in the military. Church, I'm excited. I've been excited for months. It's been about 3 or 4 months. I called Brother Rick to make an appointment to come. I've been excited about that. We all have been supporting the Lord's work in Mongolia for 10 plus years. And what I want to do tonight is not so much a report on Mongolia. I want to give you a report of the return on your investment. You have sacrificed and made an investment in the Lord's work in Mongolia. And I want you to know about the results of that sacrifice, return on that investment. I wanted to come and personally thank you for your support and to give you that return. Our desire to be good stewards of with the resources God has given us, and therefore we're going into another phase of Mongolian work, and we'll discuss that phase a little bit later on. But in this presentation, I hope, church, to take you to that place that you've been involved in for quite a while. I'll wave my hand or stick it or something. Got it. Yeah, we'll get it. Began with six-man teaching team in June 1998. 3 months after I got back from that teaching team, the Lord really touched my heart while I was there. 3 months after we got back, I fell on my face on the living room floor and surrendered to be a missionary to Mongolia. A year after moving there, New Testament Baptist Church was established August 27th in 2000 with these 9 members. Started out in this building, renting rooms in this building, and by 2006, the church had grown to a membership of 77. Could not get visas as missionaries to Mongolia, so we established our own non-government organization in which would give us a visa. We taught English, computers, and alcohol abuse counseling program, which alcohol abuse is the biggest problem there. We used not only programs just to get our visas, but we used those classes as outreach as well. Used the scripture in all those classes. We also started a Bible school in 2004. That Bible school is still going today. The Lord knew what was to come, and so He sent Bill and Carolyn to complete the Mongolian team in 2006, or got there in 2007. I want to show you some pictures. The Lord provided a building. It was an old hotel. It had a bar, a disco, a restaurant, a karaoke room. It was basically a brothel. But the Lord provided it. We did some renovation. I want to show you some pictures of renovation. The reason being is because I think they give you a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in the lives of Mongolian people, the changes He's made in those people. So I'm going to go through here and show you some of these people. But think about the changes God has made with these people. This He turned into an office or an NGO. This was a karaoke room. We turned that into a classroom, hold 50 people, Americans, 70 to 80 in Mongolian. The picture's a little bit deceiving. Next. This is the first floor hallway. You've got 2 classrooms for the church down there, plus a conference room. This is the bar and the disco area. It is now the sanctuary of Richard Baptist Church. Okay. This is the building when we first got it.
Okay.
And this is what the Lord provided. But understand, church, none of this is about what we did. Listen closely. It's about what God can and will do when His people are obedient to His word. His people who make Him king, keep His ordinances, and strive to obey His commandments. All of this is about what God continues to do in and through you, His betrothed bride. What you're seeing here is a result of your obedience, your vision outside the walls of your church some 7,000 miles away to the Lord's work. You sacrificed, you gave, you supported, you were faithful in doing that, and this, what you're seeing here tonight, is a result of your faithful support. At this time, the only Bibles they had was the only Bible they had was translated from the NIV. Plus, it was very poor Mongolian language. Additionally, the term they used for the term God was Borhan, which is a transliteration of Buddha. I refuse to use something that has Buddha in it because people see when they see that, or think when they see that, is God that we're preaching and proclaiming is just another Buddhist God. I don't want that. Go ahead. Okay. Again, translation of the New Testament in 2009 with a 10-member team. 5 years, 4 months, the New Testament was completed and published in January of 2014, delivered in May. Those Mongolians got those hard copy Bibles. Many of them held them to their breasts and cried. They were excited about that. Put together a 5-year plan to be finished by December of this year. It went faster. The actual time was 4 years and 5 months. Last verse of the last chapter of Malachi was completed at 4:10 on Tuesday, May 15th of this year. We marked that time because after 9 years and 4 months, it was an exciting, exciting time. Everyone in the NGO was present during that time. This is the primary translation team. We translated from the King James. We're not expert in Hebrew or Greek. Didn't claim to be, didn't try to be. We strictly translated from the King James. But my rule was, a hard and fast rule was, that every word, every grammatical marking in the King James would be accounted for in the Mongolian language. Could not translate word for word because obviously sometimes an English word would require a Mongolian phrase. Sometimes an English phrase could be covered in one Mongolian word. So we couldn't go word for word, but we made sure that every word and every grammatical marking was counted for. Went through each book of the Bible 3 times. Went through the book of Romans 6 times. If you read the book of Romans lately, you can understand why. It'd be 6 times. A lot of tears, a lot of passionate discussions, no arguments, passionate discussions, a lot of trying to find the right word to fit, but our goal through it all was the best possible translation of God's word. Next. 9 years, 3 months, 50,000 man hours, $275,000 there is the cost for the translators. The cost of printing the Bible, we're looking at printing 1,000, actually 1,300, is going to be $20,000. We have those funds, plus we have a little bit more than that. What we're going to do with those extra funds is the churches that gave permit us to, is we're going to reprint The Trail of Blood and ABCs of Christian Growth. We already have those two books translated in the Mongolian language. You just need to update with the words that we found as we're going through the translation. So we're going to do that. Everyone's very excited at this point. But y'all know about eSword, right? Electronic Bible, right? Okay. The Trinity Bible we're looking to get finished in January to hand out the hard copy. But in the meantime, we found a guy in Malaysia that was able to put the Mongolian translation on the eSword. So as soon as we finished, he printed on the eSword. We were around to all the churches. 99% of Mongolians have a phone. I don't have anything else but have a phone. We went around to all the churches and loaded eSword, the Mongolian translation on their eSword. They have it available to them now, even before the hard copy comes out. This young lady is blind. She's been mourning since 2004. Wonderful lady. I could stand up here hours and give you testimony to all these people. But she's blind. She took our New Testament and translated it, transposed it into Braille. And we created a Braille library of the New Testament so our blind people can come in and read the Bible for themselves in Braille. Sister Carolyn's a great pianist and a teacher. She had 18 piano students, and now every church has a piano player or a senior student that can play the song. As a matter of fact, obviously some of the churches have more than one piano player. We translated 60 hymns, same hymns y'all sung Sunday, and one or two of the same hymns you sang tonight. Translated that in the Mongolian language. They had a difficult time, the translator said. Actually said it was harder than the Bible because fitting the Mongolian syllables into the music. Can you imagine how difficult? I could pull their hair out, threw all of them bald. But we also translated 40 to 50 children's songs for the Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. So we're excited about that as well. During this time, the King James Bible was translated. During the time the Bible was being translated, God bless. Great Cart was established in 2000. Singletary and Chore in June of 2009. Uginor 2012. Yarmouth 2017. I know I'm going a little bit fast. I understand that. But we're going to have a test on all the names and locations. So just pay close attention. All the churches, all these churches have Mongolian pastors. I'd like to introduce you to them at this point in time. In the upper left is Brother Egi and his wife Nara. In the middle, Brother Inbar and Dalma and Yarmouk. Yarmouk is a suburb of Ulaanbaatar, Ulaanbaatar being the capital city. To the right, Uginor, Brother Trucian, Sister Altai. That's a herder town some 270 miles west of Ulaanbaatar. In the lower left is Chingletay, is another suburb of Ulaanbaatar. And Brother Inke and Sister, Brother Tumahu and Sister Inke. And the lower right is Chor, Brother Agi and Sister Olsi. Each one of these men have wonderful, great testimonies. Again, I could spend hours. But all of them attended our Bible school for a minimum of 11 years. Most of them for the whole time we've had the Bible school going. As a matter of fact, they are now teaching the Bible school. Bill and I got under conviction that it was time to turn it over to the Mongolian men. So we quit doing teaching in the school. We quit teaching in churches. And I designed a pastor there. And now it's all Mongolian men that had it. I would put these Mongolian pastors up against any pastor in the United States for their knowledge, for their conviction, for their leadership ability, for their pastoring ability. They're fantastic. Okay? It'll give you an idea, take you there, give you an idea of where Rich Hart is located. Now, they're going to wave at you, so you can wave back if you want to. There's the basketball court, basketball goal in the background there. But it's the location of Rich Hart is right in the center of the city, pretty much close to the center of the city. Most of the tall buildings you're going to see, most of the buildings you see were built by Russians back in the early days. Russians ruled over them from the 1920s to the 1990s when they won the democratic independence. Right along the right there is the mayor's office of the local area. In 2007, the population of the capital city was 800,000 people. Today, there are 1.5 million people in the capital city. Mongolians. The entire population of the whole country is 3 million. Half the population live in the capital city. Reason being is that's where progress is being made. That's where advances are being made. A lot of the herders and their children are moving into the city because they're going to make it good there, but because of their lack of expertise, they end up on a welfare system that can't support them. So it's a sad situation. Also notice around here, outside the city, on the edge of the city and the edge of the hills there, you see these buildings. That's the Gare district, the slum area where they end up after they get on welfare. I'll show you a picture going out from the church. So these buildings you see on either side, right and left, are dormitories. All the colleges and universities of Mongolia are located in the capital city. All the herder children come in from all over the country, live in these dorms, and go to school. What Richard does in the summer, he loved basketball. By the way, when I went there in 98, they knew Michael Jordan. They did not know Jesus Christ. But they love basketball. So what Rich Hart does is host a basketball tournament. Those guys come flocking in. Have the tournament. In the middle of the tournament, they close it down, take them inside, share them, feed them refreshments, share the gospel with them, and tell them what Christianity is all about.
Don't be fooled by this picture. This is going out to Peace Avenue, which is the main street running east and west throughout the city. It's got six lanes of traffic. And another, and this is taken about 6 o'clock in the morning, another hour or two, that both all six lanes will be bumper to bumper, both roads. The basic rule there is your bumper's in front, you have the right of way. If I drove here like I drove in Mongolia, I'd get shot. I know I would. Also, you see the blue building back in the background, the friendly looking building, it's right across the street from the government building. So you can see Rick Hart is very close to the center of town and a prime piece of real estate. This is Rick Hart Church in June before we left. Okay. Next is a suburb of Ulaanbaatar. Pastor Tumahu and his wife, N.K. Church building is only about 9 miles from Rick Hart, but it's taken as long as an hour to drive there because of the traffic situation. People who were going to church from this area took 2 buses and 2 hours to get there. In minus 25 to minus 35 degree temperature, that gets kind of tough, especially at night. Church was organized with 13 people in 2009. Today, they run close to 50 on Sundays, and this is a picture of their sanctuary as well. Another exciting thing that's happened is two young men have surrendered to the call of the ministry. The one on the right you see up here is a businessman who made contact with Inner Mongolia. We've been trying, well, let me explain to you. Next slide, please. This is, the blue here is Mongolia, as you know it today. This is northern China. This is about the top third of China. This is called Inner Mongolia. Where we were is Outer Mongolia. Young people, if your parents threatened to send you to Outer Mongolia, they know somebody. Listen. Anyway, the Chinese took them over, and unlike the Russia tried to wipe out the culture of Mongolians when they ruled, but Northern China, when they took over, did not. They allowed them to keep their language, to keep their culture, to keep their writing, to keep everything. They just ruled over them. There are 5 million Mongolians that live in Inner Mongolia, the northern third of China. We've been trying for 3 years, praying and visiting. We've been there 4 or 5 times trying to get something started. Nothing happened. But this young man was a business contact. That's right. Was a business contact. Found a man who got all excited because they had the Bible translated in Mongolian language. This is him. He invited him to come down and teach him the Bible. His other group, another group in another location, found out the same thing. News passed fast there, I guess. They came up and were interested in the Sunday school material that had been translated, and they also invited him down. At that time, we found another guy who was all excited about maybe taking our translation and putting it into the old script for the Mongolians to use. They don't use Cyrillic, they use an old script that is writing, and he's very good at it, so he wants to transpose what we translated into a Bible for them. So we're excited about what God's going to do through the Mongolian men in northern China. And being Mongolian, they're able to cross the border and go back and forth, so we're excited about what's going to happen there. Okay, this is a video back to Chingalpe area. You can see the fantastic street there. The city is located back down here where this puff of smoke is, back down in the valley to the right. Again, this is people who have left their herds, come in and end up on a welfare system, and they end up living from meal to meal and from day to day. They live in these little lots, they build these little wooden houses. Sometimes they live in the round white things you see there, gers, or the Russian word is yurt. They have no running water, they have an outdoor toilet. But the kids have to go pick up the water. That's their job. They burn coal to cook and fuel or heat their building with. In the wintertime, you can't hardly see more than 100 feet. This is going back into the church building, the red building there. We built it from the ground up. These people really bless my heart. They don't have hardly anything. Like I say, living day to day and meal to meal. But they love the Lord. They come to serve the Lord. They come smiling. They're not coming looking for anything. They just want to serve the Lord. And it's a blessing to my heart. That's the Chingalpe Church in June before we left. Next, Ugidor is the town 270 miles some west of Ulaanbaatar, a herder town. Brother Tushin is the current pastor. In 2010, Rick Hart Church sent Brother Erdenbauer, another man you'll hear about later on, to organize a church there, and for 5 years they held services in the gear on the right, and they lived in the gear on the left. In 2015, the building came up for sale, originally built by the Russians, and part of a government office building, but it has enough space for the sanctuary, fellowship hall, classrooms, apartments for the pastor, and it has hotel rooms. Only hotel rooms for around about 400 miles of the area, so we still use those. We rent those out and use the income to buy coal for the winter, and so we're doing what we can to support ourselves there. Next. In late 2015, Brother Erdenbauer resigned and moved back to UB, and Brother Tushin, still on the left here, was asked to pastor and move on the field. He was 40 years old and not married. Ever since I've known him in 2004, he stuttered. In 2017, he married Sister Altai. I don't know what she did to him, but it was good. Last time we were there, he preached and talked for 3 hours. I did not hear him stutter once. She was good for him. They are a beautiful couple doing a great and wonderful work. It's a really tough place, too. Go ahead and get a video of it. The first trip taken to Uginor was this way. Most of the roads were, as you see here, 8.5 hours to get there. The house pays now all but the last 20 miles, but the even last 20 miles still takes about an hour. Uginor is almost in the very center of Mongolia, not far from where Genghis Khan wintered his troops. Had a massive army along with their family. He lived in close. The village is small, and no one has indoor water or toilet again. But you've seen those theater seats that move with the sound in the picture?
I wish you had theater seats. So you get an idea what this car's doing.
It looks smooth, but it's driving you. It's really bad. You'll see the town. In the summer, the population goes down to 600 and jumps up to 1,000. All throughout this area, for miles and miles, there are herders. And so the herders' children come in and live in the dormitory right here and go to school right here. Then on the weekends, they go back to the herd and herd their animals. That's the reason the population fluctuates. So many still live out on the plains, herding the flocks as they have for hundreds of years. Very hard life, very harsh winters. We had 6 winters now where many of the herders lost everything they had. That's the reason a lot of them moved to UB, because they lose everything they have and they don't know where else to go. But in this town, many lack education. Very few really read very well. But the children love to come to church. And they have the Sunday school, vacation Bible school. And this is a picture of the church in June. Next slide. Very hard life, herder mentality. The reverse gear in every car in Mongolia, regardless how old it is brand new. They refuse to back up. I have seen them sit in the street head to head and get out and fight before they would move. Herder mentality. Just organizing the church in Uginor, we started looking to where to start, where the Lord wanted to start another church. So we went to Yarmouk, which is the southeast suburb of UB, has a population of 300,000, fastest growing area in the town. We really started Bible school here back in Bible classes here in 2000, but the Lord didn't open any doors. But we looked at this building on Wednesday, December the 14th. Go ahead, next slide. On 1 January, we were in the building. The building was ours, and on 1 January 2017, we organized Yarmouk New Testament Baptist Church with 13 members. I was the pastor at the time. Brother Erdenbauer, who had been in Uginor, was my associate pastor. By the way, Brother Edgar, who is the pastor of Richhart, has been our translator for 19 years. Both he and this guy were with me for every class I taught, every counseling session I had, and every sermon I preached. So they were on-the-job training, if you will, so before they became pastors. And he's come here with the congregation at Yarmouk in the sanctuary. We wanted to use the word landmark in our name. That's a good name, right? Landmark church. But the Mongolian meaning for the word landmark is post in the ground. That's all it means to them. It has no other meaning to them. So we didn't think post in the ground, New Testament Baptist Church, would work very well. So we couldn't use that. Anyway, I was a pastor for about a year, and Erdenbauer was an associate pastor, again, on the job training. And then when I resigned, he became pastor. That's all. Through the area, it's toward the airport, brand new 6-lane road going toward the airport. Airport's located, you see across the way over here, as we stand to the right, a bunch of new apartment buildings. This place is being developed as well. Airport's across the hill here. This is also a slum area, but you notice it's a little bit more organized than Chingote was. A little bit nicer streets. This is the fastest growing area you can be in a scene, but a little bit better terrain community as well. But they still don't have the indoor running water. They have outdoor toilet. All burned coal. And to heat and cook with. This, you see in the background here, this is one of 3 major heating plants that burn coal and provide heat for the entire city of Limbata. I'll give you make you a little bit dizzy here in a minute. Yeah, and these are gears. Sometimes they build a little house, sometimes they have a gear, and there will be 6 to 12 people in each of these lots. You see the roads paved here. Again, we're taking a picture over the church building, but we're in a pretty good shape. We also put indoor plumbing into the building. Downstairs have some school rooms, a furnace for heating the building. Here is the apartment for pastor and his family, and upstairs is the sanctuary. Keep in mind, Erdenbauer and Dalma, his wife, lived in the gear all their life. They got into this apartment with indoor plumbing. I don't think Erdenbauer knows what to do. Dalma was really happy, though. This is Gabriel, one of the church members, welder. So how do you test the stairwell to see if the wells are good? You put your church on and tell them to jump. Okay, next slide. This picture is taken in the daytime. Erdenbauer sits in a big valley, and in a high-pressure system in the wintertime, all the smoke from all those plants and all the stoves where they're cooking and eating stay in the valley. This is, again, taking the breakdown. The World Health Organization says that 50 particles per million should be clean air, 50 particles of lead. In Ulaanbaatar, the average is 300 to 400, and one place is 2,300. I don't want to see a picture in my lungs.
Next picture.
Anyway, we have Pay Streets, a little bit better city. Next picture. I want to show you a picture of the area again. The city, the main city where Richard is way back up in here. In each of these lots, there are 6 to 12 people who have never heard about Jesus. Erdenbeyer, who pastors there now, was a crook. He was a gang leader. They beat people. They robbed people. They stole from people. When he got saved, he wanted to go back and minister to those people he'd been mean to. The Lord closed the door and going back to his hometown. Not too long before we left, the lady walked up the street while we were on the stairs and said, "Hello, Erdenbeyer." Found out that she had moved from his hometown to his area where he's ministering. Not only that, she said a whole lot of other people have moved from his hometown to Garnet where he's ministering. So the Lord didn't send him back to his hometown. He sent him the hometown to him. We're excited about what the Lord's going to do there. Next, Richard Altai, New Testament Baptist Church, Altai meaning golden, organized in 2009 with 13 members. Today, they have over 70. I see a picture of these two ladies. They're almost 90 years old. Next picture. They live a mile and a half or 2 miles from the church. The store is located on the fringes of the Gobi Desert. The wind is always blowing there, winter and summer. When you get minus 25 to minus 35 degree temperatures, the wind chill factor goes down to minus 45, minus 50. These ladies don't miss church. Well, I'll take it back. The one on the right, the one in purple, missed church. She broke her hip. Missed for 2 weeks. Here's a picture of the area. It gives you some perspective. Go ahead and hit it again. The building on the right is the pastor's house and the family. This is the church building. The sanctuary down here. The school room. Offices up there. Again, no way back. I'm seeing way back, don't they? Again, around this whole entire, this is a herder area as well. And throughout this area, even though it looks like a desert, there's less vegetation. The herders are part of a park to support the herd. So they live all around there. Here's a perspective of it, of where these ladies walk from. And this hill is a lot higher than what the picture shows. This is a railroad town as well, but the ladies live up there. And around, we'll go back down to the valley to apartment buildings and the government buildings down here. Very resourceful people. They have a hot house. They grow vegetables for their family and to feed them. We gave them a well to water the plants with. They wanted a volleyball court, so they handmade each of these bricks and laid them in and made themselves a volleyball court. This is another area for planting their gardens in the front town. The place became available. The churches that were available at that time took buses 135 miles down to this place and put up this tent in one day. As we pan around here, you'll see the roof on the pastor's house is quite different than the roof on the church. There's a reason for that. December 2009, the building froze. They lost all their heating system. The townspeople said, "Aha, you're cursed. You should not be involved in a thing called Christianity. You need to get out." To include some of the church members' family members were doing it. Churches provided and the heating system was restored. In the next month, January, they were coming home from Bible school and the building caught on fire and burned a lot of the roof. The townspeople again, "Aha, you're cursed. You shouldn't be involved in this. Get out of this Christianity stuff." To include, again, family members. But then that was not finished. December 2011, the fire-resistant material they used caught on fire and burnt most of the second floor of the building. I'm going to show you some pictures of that as we go through here, please. In the school room beforehand. While the fire was going on, Sister Olsey, the pastor's wife, everyone else was gone, ran into these rooms getting the Sunday school equipment and material as she could. She put herself in danger, but it was that precious to her. This fire occurred on Saturday. They already had, and the next day was obviously service on Sunday. They had services in the pastor's house. It was warm, was not damaged, but they'd already scheduled baptism services, so they went ahead with them. They are standing and sitting in about 3.5 inches of ice, and the temperature is minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Notice there are two ladies here. But they warmed up the water enough so it wasn't ice and had their baptism service. Anyway, their hearts and minds were on serving the Lord in the midst of their trials. Didn't matter about the trials. Didn't matter that it be in a wrath. They just wanted to serve the Lord and were faithful in doing it. Their faith was shown by their actions. Their tenacity to continue God's work had a greater positive impact on the town. They didn't start telling they were cursed this time. Many come to realize they were involved in something real. The reality of Jesus in their lives showed through their actions of their faith. Very quickly. Next slide. Churches provided, to include Mongolian churches, and labor and building was restored. It's not showing up. 1 Peter 1:3 is where scripture is. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." Verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." The Lord Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again to give you more than just eternal life. It has an eternal eternal inheritance with you. He wants an eternal, intimate, loving relationship with you. So he came to give you more than just eternal. If you look at the scripture, when you believe, the only thing that's promised is eternal life. If you don't believe, go back and check. When he says believe, you have eternal life. Everything else after that requires effort and on your part. Requires action on your part. He created us unto good works, right? But you have an inheritance. Who is the you? In verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, faith is not a grave, reserved in heaven for you. Who is the you? The church. You, church. You, church. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith and through salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept by the power of God, how? Through faith. Your faith is shown by your actions. Do you know how much faith you have? Not unless it's been tested. You can say you believe all day long. You can say, I'm going to serve the Lord. And that's good when the sun's shining and the weather's nice. But when things turn really rotten and sour, are you still going to serve Him? You still going to praise Him? You still going to be here? Huh? Faith is shown by your actions. What you really believe is what you do. You obviously either here believe that it's important you be here on Wednesday night. Even if it is to listen to a Mongolian missionary from 7,000 miles away ranting his radio and about to work. You're here. Your faith is shown by your actions. A faith that works, shown by action. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season as need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Manifold temptations is not tempting to sin. That's trials and tribulations. Church, you've been through some of those trials and tribulations. You're here because you show your faith. You're here because of your tenacity. Like chores, you're going to keep on going on. If you had to meet in a tent, you would be here in a tent. Amen? Because you're serving the Lord. That's your faith. There will be trials. Jesus never promised an easy life. You look at our forefathers. They were killed. They were tortured. They were hounded. Their families abandoned them. And they became Christians. Why do we think it's going to be different for us? Why should we expect it to be different for us? We are going to receive those trials. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus. A tried faith is precious, valuable beyond measure. Listen closely. A tried faith testifies to others of the reality of Jesus in you. People are watching you. And when they're watching you and things are going great, it's no big deal for you to say, I serve the Lord, I praise Him, I thank Him. But they're still watching you when tragedies occur. They're still watching you when things aren't going so well. Are you still praising Him then? Are you still faithful then? Do you still come and be involved in His business then? So a tried faith testifies to others of the reality of Jesus in you. A tried faith looks forward to the reality of an eternal, intimate relationship with Jesus. Paul's familiar with this verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. All these, you know what, they're all these things, right? The things we need, the clothes, the cars, the house, whatever we need, will be added unto you, provided that we may continue to serve Him. And I got the idea, and going around a lot of churches, a lot of people are trying to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness to get those blessings. Their vision is too low, and that's a mistake. Need to put your target higher. Next slide. Paul, he said, in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word press. How many of you been in a foot race? There's a bunch of lazy people in here. How many of you been in a foot race? Yeah. What were you trying to do? Win the race. What were you doing to try to win that race? Everything you could. You huff, you puff, you really put out. That's what this word press means, to work. Really put forth effort. Paul says, I am putting forth effort. What? For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And sometimes his state was good. Churches were being established. Things were going well. He was provided for. At other times, he had stripes on his back in the middle of the slop bowl of the jail. He said, I'm still content. How can he say that? How can he say, I am content in all those circumstances? Because he had his eye in the right place. Put your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Then the things on the earth, regardless of what happens, won't affect you. Circumstances won't affect your faith. They're going to be hard. You have to go through them, but they're not going to affect your faith. You understand what I'm saying? Keep your sight high where it ought to be. Okay? Because this is the prize I believe he was looking for. And I heard the word, the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Who is His wife? Who is it? Notice the phrase, she has made herself ready. Put forth an effort. You have done that. You are showing that you are making yourself ready by being involved in Mission Point all throughout the globe, by being involved in the Lord's work in this community, by being faithful to what your church is doing, where it's doing it, and when it's doing it. You're being involved. You are making yourself ready for this time. So we'll be with Jesus for all of eternity in an intimate, loving relationship as His wife. This is what you're looking for, church. This is the goal. This is what Paul had in his mind when he was pressing forth. This is where your mind ought to be.
Okay, just for the check.
This is why you're sacrificing. This is your goal. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the world. Here's the question. Where is your heart?
Some people here know that. Jesus is here with us.
You're here, so you know your heart. Jesus knows your heart. What are you looking for? Who is the Lord of your life? Truly. Jesus has said, you've heard it said many times, Jesus is Lord of all or is Lord of nothing. Have you in fact made Jesus your king? Are you faithfully keeping His ordinances and are you truly striving to obey His commandments?
I can't answer this question for you. You got to do that.
Final one. I'll be close. We have a core in every church in Mongolia who have made Jesus their king, are keeping His ordinances, are striving to obey His commandments. All churches have buildings without debt. All churches are trying to support their pastors and trying to support the work that's going on, the work that's coming up in northern China, and the other work that's needed in Mongolia. I mean, we've got 1.5 million people in the capital city, only 3 churches. Any more churches there, to include the outlying area. I see the Lord using these Mongolian men to do that. They have a bunch of young Mongolian men being trained up. So we're looking for the Lord to expand in Mongolia and northern China. So we're asking the churches to continue their support. So what's our mission at this point? I'm in Acts 14:22. The Lord used Paul to go through and establish churches. As the church was established, Paul went back to reaffirming those souls, right? So here's our scripture. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That's our mission at this point in time. New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Orlando, California is a sponsoring church that has accepted us as missionaries for this particular route. We're able to go back to Mongolia. We are both couples are living here now, but we're able to go back for up to 3 months at a time on tourist visas. So we're planning on doing that, probably alternating, so we'll be able to cover maybe 6 months of the year. We're in contact with those pastors on a weekly basis. We require them to give us a written report so we know exactly what's going on with them. And Brother Bill, in fact, is going to be he was in charge of our finances in Mongolia. He'll be in charge of the finances that we gather here and the distribution of those. He'll know exactly where they're going and be in control about that. Church, thank you so much. I know I held you over a little bit. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support, your encouragement, and for your faithfulness to do that. I pray that you got an idea tonight of the results of your commitment to the Lord's work in that place. Thank you, church.
I can say that our missionaries are working missionaries. That all of them that we support, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then we're not going to support them. But as far as I know, and of course I'm not there in their place, but what we hear from them, they're all thriving in their ministry or trying to. Some of it's harder than others. There's some places where may not be quite as difficult. We do have home missionaries where maybe it's a little easier, of course. But then you think about a place like this, 7,000 miles away, 5 churches started, and all of them working churches. And that's the goal. That's the mission of a missionary, to be a church planter, to get churches started so those people will have the gospel message in their own language, in their own culture. And by the way, I'm sure you can tell, even though they're dressed in Mongolian garb, my brother Dennis and Miss Charlotte are not Mongolians. And that means folks have to go and learn the language, and they have to learn the culture. Sometimes it may be a little easier than others. Sometimes it can be kind of difficult, depending on, where you're at and the kind of food and so on and so forth, you know. When Brother Jenny and Miss Nancy went to Brazil, they didn't even go to language school. There wasn't one. They just got on an airplane and flew to Sao Paulo and got off and started being missionaries. Didn't know one word of Portuguese. Miss Nancy told Judy and I many times she'd go to the market to shop and didn't know what to ask for, but she'd watch a Brazilian woman shop and then she'd walk up behind him and say, "Back." She pointed back, and that's how she did her grocery shopping. Of course, after a while, they learned the language, and of course, all the rest is history. So, thank you, Brother Dennis. These are wonderful people. We're so glad that they're part of our mission team, and we're going to continue to support them. And isn't that great that they got the Bible translated, the King James Bible, into Mongolia? And that's wonderful. I'm telling you, that thrills my heart. And we hope in the future, as they come through, they come back and report again. Brother Dennis, do any of those men, I don't guess, they're able to come here or haven't come here at all, have they? Many years ago. It'd be wonderful sometime if one of them could come, if they came into the state so they could come. It'd be just great to hear from them, from that, those individuals like that. I was telling you about a missionary, and I don't know where he was. His name is Krutsko. I met him at the meeting in Michigan, and he had a Mongolian man with him. I called his name. Of course, I can't remember what his name was. The man walked around with a big smile on his face all the time, and all he would walk to everybody in that church and shake their hand, including me, and say, "Thank you for sending missionaries." That's what he said. Thank you for sending missionaries. He just grinned. And so, you know, that's what it's all about. So I appreciate that, Brother Dennis. So let's stand to our feet for just a moment. We'll sing a verse of something. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about something in the service. If that's the case, then we always want to open the altar to you. So I hope you'll come. And then when we get through, we'll pray together. And you can go by and see this table. Let's sing a verse or two, Brother Tim, while we're standing together.
All right, I surrender all. I think you know the words. 153 if you don't. All to Jesus I surrender. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
For being here tonight, and of course it kind of filled in as we went along, and that's good, but I appreciate you being here. Don't forget, Friday night is our trunk or treat at 6:30, is that right? At 6. I think the sign says 6:30. Maybe you can check that. I thought it said 6:30. Let's say 6. Okay, I just read it wrong, which happens all the time. But anyway, 6 o'clock. If you have any questions, and do you need to meet with anybody, just if they have something they need to talk to you about, but we'll do that. And then, of course, Saturday morning, the ladies will be leaving about 7:45 to go to Union, South Carolina for the ladies' meeting there. You're going to enjoy that ladies' meeting because that's a great church. Welcome Baptist Church, and you'll enjoy that. So I hope you can go. If you haven't made plans to go and want to, I wish you'd just go tell Judy, hey, I'd like to go with you. And I know they'll be glad. They've had plenty of room for you to go with them, okay? And then be right back here on the Lord's Day, Sunday, the last Sunday of October. It's hard to believe. We're just 2 months away from Christmas. Just around the corner. Amen? And the kids are going, woo-hoo, amen. So, all right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. My brother Dennis and Miss Charlotte will be at the table here. Please go by and see their display about some of the things they have over there. And let them know you're praying for them. Get one of their prayer cards so you can pray with them. And by the way, you can always find them on our mission board out here on the digital mission board. Just pull them up and you can read all about the work there, about them, the two of them. And anyway, be sure and do that. Let's really do it. We really want to do a good job. And Susan has done such a good job. We've had some technical difficulties over the last while, but Brother Douglas is working on that and trying to get it straightened out. But anyhow, anytime you're working with a computer, it's not always going to be just like you want it to. But anyhow, do use and go by our mission board and pull that up. It's touch screen friendly, or you can look up the missionaries that we do support. I get phone calls. I got two today from missionaries that are looking for support. I wish we could support them all. I really do. We can't, but wishing we could. And as the Lord provides and we grow, then we want to do more. We want to take on more missionaries. Because I'm telling you, I believe God honors a church that's mission-minded. And so let's be sure and be praying for that, okay? All right. Yes, yeah, Dave and his wife will be here. That's right. Maisie's dad and stepmother will be here Sunday night. Of course, Maisie and them are back in Peru. And she is expecting their second child. We get pictures of Steele all the time. I'm telling you, he's a little Sandro. And I had Judy text back to them. I said that if he was here and I had two pieces of bread, I'd have a steel sandwich. Amen. And then I saw Nico, and I thought I'd like to have a Puerto Rican sandwich. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. I said, Nico, what? He's got a head full of black hair, not even a year old yet. If you pray for him with his health issues, okay? All right. Good to have Officer Starling here with us tonight. I saw Stephanie come in, and then I saw Shelton come in, and he looked like he's after her, but I don't guess he was, really. Maybe, I don't see. Brother Shelton, you dismiss us in prayer, would you?